Welcome to another installment of This Is Not Normal on the Political Drain podcast with Drill Sergeant Doug, aka Admin Doug, a U.S. Army veteran, teacher, musician, and family man from Jamaica, now fights for justice and democracy through commentary and humor. Follow him on YouTube at Political Drain and at Sons of Liberty Official as Drill Sergeant, aka Admin Doug, continues to protect our freedoms.
And by removing those Judge Advocate Generals, if we go into Gaza, American troops and Marines, airmen, sailors are going to commit genocide and ethnic cleansing.
YouTube. Today, we have a very, very special interview. I want to introduce you guys. In this time of need, and this time of need of leadership that we're in, Political Drain, SOL, the whole community, we found a fighter. We found someone who's actually started the process and running in their district, in Ohio District 6. I'm going to let him talk about what he's doing there, but you're going to need to know who this is because of everything that's been going on with Hegseth, with the Hog's Breath is now the leader of our entire military, the largest, most technologically advanced and richest military in the world is run by a D-list weekend Fox News host who couldn't even make it to the weekday on a place that has no talent as it is. We're talking about someone who's a rapist, more than likely. We're talking about someone who's a white supremacist and has a tattooed on their chest. In the time of firings of generals and leadership all across our great, once great United States military, we're in need of a candidate, we're in need of a discussion, we're in need of people to turn out March 14th for the Veterans March. So today, I'm ecstatic to introduce to you someone who served America with distinction and honor, Lieutenant Colonel, retired, Malcolm S. Ritchie. Sir, thank you so much. Thank you so much for being on with us today. We need you, man. We need you. Tell us well, more. Tell us everything.
Thank you for having me, Sergeant Doug. And well, I'll just start off with introducing myself and not, you know, take too long with it. But my name's Malcolm Ritchie. I live in Dover, Ohio, which is just 20 miles south of Canton, where the Pro Football Hall of Fame is. I've lived for 30 years in this area of Ohio. I've served in the Army Reserve for 32 years and then retired in 2013. I started out as an enlisted man, went to Fort Knox, Kentucky, completed my basic training in AIT for 19 Delta Cav Scout, went back to the Ohio Army National Guard, decided to go to college. Of course, they talked me into ROTC, and that's how I got my commission. I've served at every level in the infantry branches and the civil affairs branch for most of my time in the Army. I spent, you know, very little time as an enlisted man before I got into ROTC.
They convinced you to stop working for a living. Is that what happened, sir?
Well, yeah, I had a, when I was in college, of course, they get the list of anybody that's taking the Ohio National Guard scholarship. Mm-hmm. So I had a sergeant first class call me from Army ROTC and said, "Hey, you don't just want to be a private, do you?" So, you know, I fell for that and
Outstanding.
Learned to regret it later on. But, yeah, I've went to airborne school. That was my biggest love in the Army, was jumping out of airplanes. Of course, my back suffered. But most of my career I spent in the U.S. Army Civil Affairs and Psychological Operations Command at all levels.
Wow. I mean, a resume like that in this timeline that we're living in may mean nothing to the people who now run our military. Well, maybe because you're white, it means something. But in all actuality, it means nothing. Only thing that means anything is your loyalty to a orange orangutan. Talk about What does that feel like as a veteran, as someone who served as long as you have?
Well, first of all and foremost, even when I was a young person, you know, high school education was still good when I was a young person, and I understood the Constitution. I understood American and world history enough to understand things even as an 18-year-old getting ready to go enlist in a high Army National Guard. So, you know, my oath has always been to the Constitution, first off. Back when I believed in the mission, of course, I believed in completing my missions as a soldier and an officer in the United States Army. I obeyed the orders of my superiors and the President of the United States. And most of all, you know, my primary concern in Iraq became doing everything that I possibly could to ensure that the men and women under my command had everything they needed to go out and operate in the mission areas, and that we weren't going out and doing stupid stuff. Mm-hmm. And just stuck onto mission, took care of my troops. That is what made me so successful, were primarily my non-commissioned officers that I had throughout my 32 years. I had some of the best non-commissioned officers that I ever could have hoped to have. Yeah. You know, they saved me from failure many times, and we worked as a team. Okay. So when we were at 352nd CA Command, our commanding general had a meeting and was in the room before we ever went to Iraq with the Secretary of Defense, Donald Rumsfeld. He got a chance to brief on civil military operations and tried to make a thorough presentation to the Secretary of Defense and the President of the United States, the Vice President of the United States, on what we were going to get into in Iraq if we did not have a civil military operations plan deeply embedded into the invasion of Iraq plan. Mm-hmm. And Rumsfeld shook it off and said, we don't need that. When we get in there, they're going to see us as heroes. They're free from Saddam Hussein. We don't need to worry about that. So, of course, it became a disaster because we had no civil military operations plan whatsoever. This is one of the things that infuriated me. It was infuriating enough for the President of the United States, Donald Trump, to make these insane statements that of what we are going to do in Gaza, but they will do the exact same thing. They will have no civil military operations plan. And with the attitudes that he has, and the Secretary of Defense, Major Hegseth, Minnesota Army National Guard, not disparaging his service, but I think he's in so far over his head. I mean, look, even all the stuff that you saw on my bio, there's no way in hell I'd be qualified to be the Secretary of Defense.
Anyone who loves their country, sir, would say the same thing in your position. In other words, you know what that takes. You know what it requires. Only the most narcissistic simpleton, and let's be honest, only the person who wants to destroy it, or is a Dunning-Kruger specimen. If someone like Rumsfeld, I mean, who's even more qualified than Hegseth, could make such a horrible decision. I mean, can we imagine where we are with this guy? Can we imagine how much worse everything is going to possibly be with our military and our engagements? It's hard to imagine.
It's going to be a disaster. Like, if they go through with this, which I don't know if he's really going to go through with it or not. You know, the current regime and the guy in charge, Trump, which I don't see as my president, but, you know, I guess he won the vote, whatever. But anyway, you go into Gaza without a plan and with just the idea that you're going to fire all your top generals, which he did, and admirals. You're going to fire all the generals that work. See, the guy is Peter Hegseth, Donald Trump are lying outright lying about the job of the Judge Advocate General Corps and how the troops and officers saw the Judge Advocate General Corps. It's an absolute and complete lie. They're not an impediment to military operations. They are an integral part of every single military operation I ever took part in my life.
Period.
You know, they keep you out of trouble. They also keep you moral to remind you that it's about the enemy and not about the civilians. And by removing those Judge Advocate Generals, if we go into Gaza, American troops and Marines, airmen, sailors are going to commit genocide and ethnic cleansing. And if the world doesn't hate us enough already, wait till that happens. And you're sticking all these American military personnel into a hornet's nest like that. And I'm telling you, if you think that we suffered in Iraq from unconventional operations, guerrilla warfare, improvised explosive devices, truck bombs, yada, 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 yada. Wait till we go in Gaza. They're going to be bringing American servicemen, men, women, back in twice as many coffins as we did from Iraq. It's just complete insanity what this Secretary of Defense and this president is doing with the Middle East policy, especially. I hope they don't follow through with it, but you know, people got to know this.
Well, President Elon Musk is allowing his puppet, his orange puppet, to run around and just talk as much as possible, because the real work is being done where him and his five-year-old minions are taking every bit of money that America has paid into making this country great for everybody as much as possible, into making it fill his pockets, mainly because he wants to run the world. So I think that they're allowing their puppet Trump to run around and say whatever and say anything, because without the money to do it, they're in charge. But there's another really, really scary part of that, what you said about ethnic cleansing, genocide. For the third time on national television, for the third time in the Republican Party, in the MAGA Party, someone has given a Nazi salute at a major event who happens to be in Donald Trump's ear or in Doge. When we talk about genocide, guys, please remember to press like and subscribe. Please remember to go to all the places, donate and spread this, because I just said those words and YouTube is going to make sure that this doesn't get monetized. So we're doing this to ensure that you out there spread this. You out there do what's necessary to keep this stuff alive. But anyway, when you talk about those things, as much as I want to believe that they're puppets running around talking foolishness, but we'll never be able to get anything done, the only thing that matters is the money Elon can steal and Putin can take. On the other side of that, they really believe it. They've shown us that they care about that. That, you know, DEI and wokeness, the code words for I'm a racist, isn't just a way to get clicks and likes and to become president. It's actually the philosophy they believe in. And I have a feeling that's what they want, and that's where we're headed. Gitmo's going to be a concentration camp. Putin will probably invade, and Donald Trump will let him. I haven't said this on air before, but I figured talking to you, someone with your background, if I said it and you could square me away, then it would be worth saying it. That's my actual belief. What do you say?
I think it's definitely possible. It's like, you know, if you look at what they're doing with, you know, supposedly illegal immigrants here. I mean, just these, I mean, we have them here in Dover. And I want to, you know, get out there to everybody that, you know, we have primarily a Guatemalan immigrant population in Dover. Some of them have gotten work visas, green cards, and citizenship here. Some of them haven't, you know, but different Mennonite churches and the Catholic Church brought those people here. Yeah. Because they were suffering in their home country in Guatemala from the extreme poverty and just trying to survive and feed their families. They come up here and serve me in the restaurants so that I can have, my nice meal and my tequila, and I appreciate these people, but they work very hard. Most of them I know around here. I've even met some of these people, had conversations with them. Most of them that work around here work in the restaurant service industry. They work in the agricultural industry, and they work in the most horrible place of all, chicken farms, turkey farms, right? And look, let's just be frank.
Anybody who's
white boys and black boys aren't going to work in no damn chicken farms.
Nope.
Or turkey farms.
Nope.
So these people, I noticed there was enough outcry that must have got word back to the president about using American troops guarding illegal immigrants, that the only crime that they committed was immigration law, just not having the proper documentation, being in the United States. They weren't criminals and stuff like that, but there was a posse comitatus came into play, and the Geneva Convention come into play about detaining non-combatants. So they saw those problems, and I did see a few days ago they're not going to house any of these detainees that ICE is scooping up in Guantanamo. Now, we'll have to see if that's really true or not, follow up on that, because U.S. soldiers are guarding that, and that's a conflict of posse comitatus and a conflict with the Geneva Convention. I did want to cover some things, too, about the emotionalism for me about this whole situation of serving my country for 32 years and everything. Okay, I grew up. All right. I just wanted to talk about how, I got into this and what was my emotional motivations from youth. And the fact that, I was born in 1963, right there on the edge of Gen X and Boomer. I'm more Gen X. I listen to rock and roll and rap and all kinds of stuff that my dad would probably have a heart attack if he heard some of this stuff. But, the World War II generation was my heroes growing up as a child because, my father was a late baby. My grandma was 40 when he was born. So his brothers were 14 and 15 when he was born. Both of them were World War II veterans. So I grew up with two uncles that were World War II veterans. My oldest uncle, George, was in the Navy, and he went to the Battle of the Coral Sea on the USS Sims. The USS Sims was sunk in 15 minutes by a Japanese submarine torpedoes towards the end of the battle, after the USS Lexington aircraft carrier had been, the Lexington and the Yorktown had been set on fire. He was in the water for 11 hours, got burned over 30% of his body. But he got lucky. They fished him out of the water, took him back to San Antonio, which was the place they took all the people with burn victims, made his way back to San Antonio. He never recovered from us. I mean, he had a productive life, but he would have bouts of PTSD. They didn't even call it that back then. Yeah. But when I was a kid on the holidays, I would be told by my grandmother and other family members, us kids would hear, don't be running around being crazy and stuff. You'll make your Uncle George nervous. Right. And he would fall into deep difficulties with PTSD all of his life, and then tragically died of cancer at the age of 57. So my other uncle, Ian, was in the Army, and he went into Normandy after the main battle. He was like a support troop mechanic type of dude. And he went all the way to Munich. And he didn't get injured, and he actually fared a lot better. He just, I think he just had a different kind of resilience, like me. I got issues. But, I just have that luck of having that kind of resilience that, it didn't, crush me, the things that I went through. So those two, if they were alive today, and my uncle Ian died at the age of 91, he had a very nice, a good life. If those two uncles would be alive today, they would be absolutely horrified at what they're seeing going on. What they did, their sacrifice, they would see it as all in vain. I thank God most of the World War II veterans have passed away, because can you imagine what Major Dick Winters or Sergeant Guarnier, what they would have thought about what was going on today? I just can't believe it.
I honestly can't. that leads perfectly into March 14th. We're organizing a march. Guys, I'm going to put the names in after this to make sure I don't mess up, are organizing the Now March. NowMarch.org. And we, SOL, we, Political Drain, have been wanting to turn it into a veterans march. We want the retired veterans there because for the exact same reasons that you just said, the people who fought for this, number one, the people who fought to never have fascism touch our doorstep, the people who fought to defend other lands against fascism because we knew how horrible it was. If they were alive to see this today, we would be dishonoring all of the dead, all of them that gave the ultimate sacrifice. Not just that, seeing how they're treating our military, seeing how they're firing the people at the top, seeing how they're getting rid of benefits. Many of those people who have PTSD from the wars that they're starting these times will be losing their benefits. I want to talk about your campaign after this, but I want to convey the gravity of the situation to all veterans watching. If you want to go down there and click on the website to join in, to wear your uniform at this 14th, on the 14th of March in D.C., I know you'll be going. Will you be going?
Oh, yeah, I'll be there. I will be there.
Talk about why. I mean, you gave an extremely good definition of why right there, the emotional reasons, but expound on it. Let them know why they need to meet us there.
Well, you know, I mean, I'm not going to recite the Declaration of Independence.
Okay.
But
but you could.
At the very end of the Declaration of Independence, the Continental Congress, members of the Continental Congress who were branded as traitors to the crown at that point, at the very last paragraph, they pledged a vow honor on their honor that they would be willing to sacrifice their fortune and their lives for the cause of liberty to break free from King George V and the British Empire. And many of them did. Many of them were executed. Many of them lost all their property, all their money. Some of them did better than others, of course. They were the lucky ones. But I cannot go to my grave having lived this wonderful life of 62 years, you know, with my two wives, God bless them both, putting up with me, two wonderful children, including my son, who is a West Point graduate himself and served 8 years in the Army after West Point. He went through some terrible stuff, and not to dive deep into it, but he was at the Battle of Ghazni in Afghanistan, which was a horrendous affair. And then my daughter, and I have three grandchildren from both of my kids. So I've had this wonderful life, and I can't go to my grave living under a Nazi regime and just think that I coasted my way through it, because I probably could. I could probably get away as a white boy coasting my way through it. But I spent 32 years working with every conceivable person from every ethnic background you can imagine, men and women, every ethnic background, you know, probably people that chose a different kind of gender lifestyle. I didn't poke into people's business because, you know, I go by Mr. Walz's or Governor Walz's thing. It's like, you know, mind your own business. I mind my own business about people's personal business. I don't give a shit what you're doing as long as you're not a criminal and you're not hurting people.
Right.
I have to do this. I don't want to do this, but I have to run for office. I have to go to this march, you know, and if I get the hell beat out of me by police and get identified and they take my pension away, so be it. So be it.
I'll tell you one thing. I'm going to be running a team from here. I probably won't be able to be there on the 14th. There is something else on the 16th. We're hoping everybody stays over because I don't know if people know this, but there's been marches since January at every capital in 50 states, and they're not covering it. So we've decided to stay over. And I'm going to put out a list of addresses where you are if you don't come to D.C., where we're going to be marching on the media, on Fox News, on MSNBC, in Florida, in D.C., in North Carolina, okay, in different places. I'm going to put these addresses out, but if you can, stay over till the 16th. We're going to go straight to them and see if they cover it then. But we're here to make sure that the least amount of problems happen, because I don't know if you know about Sons of Liberty and Drill Sergeant. We're not nonviolent. We use nonviolence as a strategy. I want everybody to understand that difference. We believe in self-defense. We believe in fighting for the things we believe in, especially this democracy. And we use nonviolence because it's the way that has worked 80% more times than violent revolutions. That's just the facts. So we'd be dumb to do anything else. But we don't do that because we're afraid of it. Understand that. So come at me before you come at Lieutenant Colonel Retired. Come at me. Cool? All right. Let me just say that first out. Our job is to make sure that we have you safe and protected while you're there. But if not, everybody's willing to give up something for this because it means the most to us. Speaking of that, how's your campaign going? I heard that the Democratic Party in Ohio, what is it, the county Democratic Party has already given you the okay?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I've run for office before a long time ago when I was on the dark side. I was a Republican a long time ago. After I came back from Iraq, I became a Democrat.
There we go.
And so anyway, I've run before. I mean, you know, all I have to do, you still with me? All I have to do is get 50 signatures of registered Democrats, turn that in, pay like $200, and I can run for office. The Democratic Party does not have to give me permission to run for office. However, we know how it works. Right. I thought about running as an independent. That's not going to work.
Yeah.
You know, so I did go to the county Democratic Party meeting last week in Tuscarawas County to start out my home county. It was the biggest crowd that they had there, and I can't tell you how long.
Yeah.
The place was just absolutely packed. People were pissed off.
Outstanding.
I also wanted to add in there, you know,
well,
the protests are getting under Trump's skin.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, they're protesting in any way you can. It's getting under his skin.
Keep going. Keep going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, I need to work with the Ohio Democratic Party, make sure that they're going to choose me as their primary candidate or, you know, can help me in any way that they can, because that way I can get experienced staff members. I can get a campaign finance team to make sure that stays all straight. And this includes 11 counties in eastern Ohio. It's right in the middle of MAGA country. Over 700,000 people live in this district. However, Democrats have won big time positions in this district, even though it's been gerrymandered. It's still generally about the same. Yeah. And actually, the Republicans are getting scared and they're trying to gerrymander the damn thing again, because the last time they included Youngstown, and I think they saw numbers that, oh shit, we shouldn't have put because Youngstown is still heavily a Democratic county, Mahoning County.
Let them continue to fire all these government workers. They don't believe that government workers live in red towns. A lot of them are coming back to that same sixth district where you live, and we can take them. We can take them. Who are you running against? Who would you be running against for that seat?
Current congressman is, of course, the Republo Nazi Party.
Yep. Wow.
His name is Mike Rulli. He has very little political experience. I've read that he's been like a small businessman, and he just 100% votes whatever Trump tells him to do. I've been watching all his stuff on the Ballotpedia, I think it is. And he just votes 100% Trump, licks his boots, does whatever he wants. Hurrah, hurrah, hurrah. You know,
man, we can.
It'll be easy to dismantle. You know, it's the problem I'm going to be dealing with is agitators. You know, I'm not some big fighting man that wants to get into it or anything else, but, you know, I'm not afraid of these people. You know, they're not going to shut me up.
Never, never. Sir, what do you need from Political Drain? What do you need from SOL? What do you need from these audience members? How can we help that fight? Because I want you to metaphorically, YouTube, bloody this guy's nose. I want to make sure that we're doing everything we can.
Well, of course, I mean, your platform and any of the associated platforms that SOL is hooking up with is of tremendous value, because right now, you know, okay, you got the physical protest, but most of this war right now is an information war.
Yes.
A propaganda war. Something I did, you know, psychological operations. Winning over, you know, changing people's minds, winning them over, winning their hearts and minds.
Yes. People,
you know, and I realize
that we,
as a candidate, I'm not going to be attacking my potential voters, even if they're MAGA folks. I'm going to be asking them, what do you want? Do you want this or do you want that? Just continue with the information war. Get as many people like me on here as possible. You know, get civilians that have a lot of experience too. And, you know, I want to help you guys too. That's why I'm going to the march. I want to help the network. The network helps me. You know, and I guess in the future, you know, any connections you guys make with prominent Democrats that are already in office and you can hook them up with me, that's still a big thing. You got to get noticed out there.
Yeah.
You know, you can't be the soft-spoken, reasonable man anymore. You have to get out there and be a pit bull, but you also have to be able to speak well in public and not appear to be a fool. Because the fools are the ones that we're trying to unseat.
Yes.
So, you know, you can fight fire with fire, but, you know, I'm not going to be a fool like the Republicans in Congress, Pete Hegseth, Tulsi Gabbard, Bondi, Kash Patel as the FBI director. Are you freaking kidding me?
Awesome. Okay.
Also, well, I want to add before we, real quick, before you finish up there, Doug.
Yeah.
I also wanted to add that in my civilian life, I had 28 years as a locomotive engineer with the Ohio Central and the R.J. Corman Railroad Companies. So I am going to make a splash by announcing my candidacy when it's appropriate and when I work with the Ohio Democratic Party. I'm going to announce my candidacy in East Palestine, Ohio. The site of the Norfolk Southern train wreck, because that whole another thing about oligarchies, the billionaires, and the bullshit lies that they told to these people in that train wreck. And I know it's all a bunch of bullshit, although I will say the National Transportation Safety Board did their job and they were honest. So, you know, anybody that wants to look up that whole tragedy can look up on ntsb.gov. and see what the report was, and it was damning on the Norfolk Southern Company. So I'm going to announce my candidacy there in East Palestine, Ohio, which is in my sixth.
That being said, being someone from that background, being for the workers, is yet another thing that we're missing from these oligarchs and who they're putting up to run.
Well, thank you so much. If anyone can call Hakeem Jeffries and say, hey, we want this guy. And he'll be like, who in the hell is this?
That's what I'm talking about. Hey, there we go. Action.
That's how it starts.
Action. We need phone calls, guys. I'll tell you what. Phone calls. Anybody who can prove that they've given a phone call has an interview on this show. How about that? Show me that you've given the phone call. You show me that you've given the phone call and the time and date. Email politicaldrain@gmail.com. We'll get you on the show for an interview. If you want to be famous, call. All of you. If it has to be a group, Zoom, we're doing it. If it's live, we're doing it. Call. I love it. Tell them your name again, sir.
Malcolm Ritchie, and I'll be running for the U.S. House of Representatives 6th Ohio District in the 2026 midterm election. That is if we have one.
Sir, I'm with you. let's see you get in there. Thank you so much for coming on the show today. Thank you so much.
Hey, thank you so much for having me, Drill Sergeant Doug.
Cool. And on that note, we're out of here. Listen, YouTube, you know what to do. Political Drain, you know what to do. Right down there is where you can visit the site. It says Now March. NowMarch.org. We'll be putting it up there. You can also do the SOL. You can also do the Discord. There'll be all types of options. We want you there. We want you spreading this word. And remember, Lieutenant Colonel, retired Malcolm Ritchie. Have a good one, guys. And thank you, sir.
Airborne.
Follow us on all these things you see here, and our link tree is in the description. Maybe even get some merch.
That was the Political Drain podcast, which can be heard on groovechillradio.com/political-drain and can be viewed on the Political Drain YouTube channel anytime. Once again, thank you for listening to Groove Chill as we resist fascism in any form, pursue democracy, peace, and love.